What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. It's the last time we're going to have a chance to talk before the Buffalo Bills host the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday in a big game in the AFC. The Bills at 9-3, the Ravens at 10-2. A lot at stake, and another opportunity for the Bills to validate that record they have this year by beating a really good football team, one that I think a lot of people believe is the best in football. So what an opportunity the Bills have to host this game at New Era Field, to play this game coming off a big win over Dallas, in which they played it on Thursday and received extra rest and extra preparation time. And I think that's going to help the Bills quite a bit in this game against a really unique opponent like the Baltimore Ravens that are very unique offensively. They're analytics-driven with their decision-making, and defensively, they present a lot of different looks with a lot of different personnel groupings, and they blitz a ton. So there's a lot to deal with in this game. So we're going to start off today by cleaning up some leftover thoughts, have some interesting things here to get into with you. Then we'll talk with Kyle Trimble of Banged Up Bills on the injury front, and then I'll close out the week with my game predictions. So first things first, I want to talk about the implications of this game. The Bills are the 5 seed in the AFC playoffs. They're 9-3. Looking at some of the projections in terms of playoff probability based on the results of this game, if the Bills win, I think their chances go to 99.6% of making the playoffs this year. If they lose, here's the good news, it only goes down to 95%. So at 8-4, if the Bills were to lose this game, still a 95% chance for the playoffs and still likely the 5th seed. Now, we want to win as many games as possible, and beating Baltimore is going to be a big deal in believing that this team can make noise in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty small drop in overall likelihood that the Bills get to the postseason. So it's a plus if they win, and it's meaningful if they win, and I hope that they win. But let's just keep in mind that the worst thing that can happen is the Bills will fall to 8-4 and still have a 95% chance of playing postseason football this year. Now, the Bills do have an opportunity this week to clinch a playoff spot. It can happen if these four things happen. First thing, the Bills got to beat the Ravens. If they do that and the Oakland Raiders lose or tie to the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans lose to the Denver Broncos and the Indianapolis Colts lose or tie to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your Buffalo Bills have punched their ticket to the playoffs. There's quite a bit of dominoes there. I don't think any of them are impossible things to happen. I'd say, for the most part, unlikely. If those four things happen, a Bills win, a Raiders loss or tie to the Titans, a Texans loss to the Denver Broncos, and the Colts loss or tie to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we will celebrate on Monday by talking about this Buffalo Bills team that has qualified for the playoffs. The second note I want to get into today is Lamar Jackson and a bit of a tendency that, you know, I've watched a lot of Lamar, a ton, obviously, with him coming out in that quarterback class along with Josh Allen. When I knew the Bills were going to draft the quarterback, I've seen almost all of them live on multiple occasions. And I seen Lamar against NC State and Wake Forest, his final year at Louisville, in person. Watch a lot of tape. I've watched him play in the NFL. If there's anything that he's not as good at, it's throwing outside the numbers. He's really good throwing the ball between the numbers. Middle of the field, he's lethal. Not as effective hitting throws outside the numbers. So how do you congest the middle of the field and challenge him to hit throws where he doesn't have as much success? I think that's going to be the key with Lamar. You have to understand that he's going to make his plays. He's going to be difficult to stop, running and throwing the football. But if you can do your best to contain those throws and influence them to go outside the numbers based on how you play defense against them, I think that's beneficial. So if I'm Buffalo, I'm going to do my best to see if I can come up with some scheme to influence those throws outside the numbers where Lamar just isn't quite as effective as he is between the numbers. All right, and the next thing I want to get into here is an email that I got from Daniel. I really liked this talking point, and I think it's very relevant with the Bills playing the Ravens this week. Daniel said, "What do you think about the Bills winning the coin toss and opting to take the ball first and not wait until the second half as a strategy to try to slow down the Ravens and get an early lead. And this prompted me to do a whole lot of research on the topic, because I went into this thinking to myself, I'm traditionally a defer to the second half guy. I believe in that. I think that's the right decision to make, and it's usually the decision that Sean McDermott makes. And so I spent a lot of time researching this, and I found some really good data that I got it from sharpfootballanalysis.com. So my source here is Sharp Football Analysis. I'm going to give you some information that measures NFL football games since the start of 2016. That's 778 games in the sample size that I'm going to discuss here. A lot of this I'm going to read directly from the website because they summarize it very well, and I see no reason for me to try to rehash it. Again, my source here, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Okay, so again, since the start of 2016, on average, the team that receives the kickoff at the start of either half gets an average of an extra 3 plays on offense in that half or an extra half of a drive. Okay, so again, on average, the team that receives the kickoff at the start of either half gets on average an extra 3 plays in that half and an extra half drive. Now let's break that down just a touch further. On average, the team that gets the ball at the start of the game gains an extra 0.6 points per game. On average, the team that gets the ball at the start of the game gains an extra 0.6 points per game. The team that gets the ball at the start of the second half earns an extra 1.6 points per game. So, big difference there. You gain an extra point on average if you get the ball to start the second half as opposed to the first. Now, there's some very important data that I want to follow up here, so listen in. In the 778 games since the start of 2016, in which both teams' offenses scored at least one touchdown, the team that scored a touchdown first won 66% of the time. We use the games in which both offense scored a touchdown so that we limit the bias that normally comes with stats that assume one team scores. Okay, so the key takeaway there is in NFL football games since the start of 2016, in which both offenses score at least one touchdown, the team that scores a touchdown first won the game 66% of the time. So I know what you're thinking. If you receive the football first, that's your chance to score first and play into those odds. Now listen up. Receiving the opening kickoff obviously helps a team's chances of scoring first, but not by as much as you might think. Within those same 778 games, the team that received the opening kick only scored the first touchdown 56% of the time. They also only scored on their opening possession 40% of the time. In fact, in both the first and second halves, the team that gets the ball second is more likely to score on their first possession. Rewind that. Listen to that again if you need to take that in again. Let me go a little bit further here. This is, again, pulling from sharpfootballanalysis.com. The stuff I just talked about, this can be explained by the fact that the opening drive of each half has the lowest average starting field position of any drive. Teams that receive the kickoff to start a half begin that drive an average of 3 yards further back than the second drive of the half. One of the arguments for deferring the opening kickoff is that it allows for the opportunity to steal a possession by scoring at the end of the first half and then also receiving the second half kickoff. In theory, this makes a lot of sense, and it turns out it also makes sense in practice. Over the 778 games in our sample size, the team that receives the second half kickoff was able to score in the last minute of the first half and on their opening second half drive 12% of the time, when compared to the 0% chance of stealing a possession if you receive the opening kickoff. This becomes a small built-in advantage to deferring to the second half. So to me, the big conclusion here, what this is all getting to, is that receiving the ball to start the second half results on average in an extra point on the scoreboard and a 12% chance of stealing a possession. So I see the idea, the logic behind getting the ball first and trying to score first. The data doesn't suggest that that's normal, and the best thing you can do is play those odds that the Bills game on Sunday will be true, as the statistics tell you, and that you have a better chance of gaining an advantage by receiving the ball to start the second half, because that results in an extra point on the scoreboard and that 12% chance of stealing the possession. Are you the type of football fan that knows football so well that you can choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you, because they let you turn your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between the football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball, it's time to get off the sidelines and in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. You're tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. I'm joined now by Kyle Trimble, who's a doctor of physical therapy. He runs bangedupbills.com, the website bangedupbills.com, the Twitter handle at bangedupbills. Kyle, you are a familiar voice in this podcast. We do this every single Friday. And before I ask you about a very limited injury report, I do want to ask you, how are you feeling? You know, this is the Bills beat Dallas on the road last week. They're 9-3. Things are looking good. Tell us how you're feeling, Kyle.
I'm feeling awesome. That was really a big surprise. And prior to doing this interview, my first thought was, we were on last week and talking about how we didn't think they were going to win and that's a loss you could take. I wanted to ask you, what's the best way to prepare crow? Because I need to eat some. We were all wrong. I mean, that was a complete dismantling of what should be a good football team. All that talent on the Cowboys roster, and they just can't execute. I mean, across the board, the Bills had momentum. They were making plays, and they just took control of the game on a national stage like that. I've been a fan since 07. I've never seen them do this well outside of 2017 when they made the playoffs. Before that, I was a 49ers fan, but my fandom didn't really come into play where I was paying attention until well after they were done with Steve Young and Jerry Rice. So all I know is losing football. So to be 9-3, this is a really odd feeling. I'm getting goosebumps just talking to you about, like, my God, this is the fandom paying off now. It's a fantastic feeling. I hope the rest of the Bills Mafia and you, Joe, are feeling very similar or even greater feelings than I am.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I would trade all of the Bills' failures in the past for some occasional playoffs dripped into that. But I kept on telling myself throughout the course of bad football that it's going to be a whole lot sweeter when this thing gets turned around. And now that we're finally there, man, it feels good. And it also feels good that this team is very healthy, right? I mean, the only real thing of note on this injury report is Ty Nsekhe, who hasn't practiced all week with the ankle. Sounds like there's been some positive signs of him trending towards getting back on the field, but with Cody Ford playing pretty well and they're getting by without him, I'm guessing there's no rush. What do you have for us on Nsekhe?
The only thing, update from Nsekhe, they said that he was out in practice in some capacity, though he wasn't doing anything actually football related. Otherwise he would be limited, but he's due to participate Wednesday and Thursday. Last week after the game, Marcel Louis-Jacques from ESPN had said that Nsekhe was walking around without a boot, though with a limp following the game. I'm glad he was able to go down, support his teammates. And I'm sure that got some people hyped up thinking, well, he's out of a boot, that's a good sign. Well, if you're walking with a limp, there's no way you could turn around and start playing the next game after that. And we're seeing evidence of that by he's not practicing the past 2 days. This doesn't mean he's not trying to do football-related drills, he's not trying to run, that he's not trying to do any rehab. It's just he's not ready for practice yet. So there's a guarantee he's not going to play on Sunday. We already know that. But Pittsburgh, outside chance, I'm thinking he's going to come back more for the Patriots game, or if Ford continues to do well, come back for the Jets game, because you still want to get him in some live reps, some real competition, even though we're talking about the Jets, to be honest, prior to the playoffs, because you don't want to reinsert somebody after missing, you know, 4 or 5 games, and they need that those reps to get back into it. Outside the ankle, it's just a healing thing. It just they're doing everything they can to speed it up. They have all that fancy stuff, but the body still needs to lay down that new tissue, still needs to heal up the torn tissue in there, and he still needs to get the proprioception back, the strength, the range of motion, pain-free activities, and just continue loading up the tissue so it can tolerate all the football-related activities, such as blocking, running, pushing. It's a time thing. We can speed it up as much as we can, but we can't shave off time to the point where he gets back sooner than he should.
May have to talk to you about a little ankle injury I have of my own. I was in Tuscaloosa several weeks ago for Bama LSU, and I stepped off the sidewalk into a manhole, and I twisted my ankle. And I'll tell you, you know, I've been a limited participant here. Nobody knows it. It's the first time I mentioned it, but yeah, I've still got to heal a bit from that. Robert Foster, I want to ask you about this because we didn't think he was going to play. I mean, the Bills have been pretty cautious with hamstring injuries, especially. And on a short week after injuring it against Denver, this guy plays against Dallas, looks fine. What happened there?
That was one that really caught me off guard. I was thinking, what did I miss? And you go back over the film and see everything else. And they said he was questionable, but they do that often with most of the players that go out with an injury, questionable, and halftime they don't return, or most of the time they don't return. The only thing I can think of that he got bumped out on the sidelines was slowing down and somehow got cramped. That's the only thing I can think of, because that's really the only muscles back there. You have your hamstrings, which are semi-tendinosus, semi-membranosus, and biceps femoris for to get the exact things. But there's not really a whole lot in there that would say, oh, this is what it could be instead of this. So there's other structures that go down through there, but you're not going to have that quick of a reaction. Like the strain, the only thing I can think of is the cramping. He might have cramped. I had people reach out to me after the fact said, oh, he's running on sidelines after. Well, you still, even if you have a strain, you still want to keep that stuff loose. So to say that you're running doesn't indicate that the severity was there, but you would definitely want to keep moving. So my conclusion is that he suffered a cramp. It just was an ill-timed cramp. He maybe had some soreness, stretched out, hydrated, and he was good to go with for Thursday. But, you know, we've seen the team really be shy about things, and then it kind of pops up later, like we saw with Jerry Hughes' groin. It wasn't a problem, but they said it was lingering for a few weeks.
You know what this screams to me? It screams Sean McDermott taking advantage of a situation where everyone thinks he had a hamstring injury. It's really cramps. And he wanted the Dallas Cowboys to prepare for the idea that Duke Williams, a very unique player, would have to play. And he leveraged that for a little gamesmanship. Yeah, it was good to see him back. It's and of course, the thought of what he can mean for this offense is exciting. Last thing I want to ask you about is we got a couple players here that missed practice on Thursday with an illness. Quentin Spain, TJ Yeldon. Feels like we're seeing this across the league. I know the Patriots had a big issue with it. Just players are getting sick, and you know they're in the same room together all the time, and you kind of have to be careful with this stuff because somebody could get the flu or pneumonia or something like that, and all of a sudden you're not available. So what do you know here about illnesses and what's popping up around the league right now?
Public service announcement, people, get your damn flu shot. That's all there is to it. There's a very few select groups of people who can't get it. The immunocompromised is being one of them. Some other things I can't think of the top of my head right now, but there's very few that aren't allowed to get that shot. Otherwise, get it. Dr. Chow, pro football doc, he had mentioned that on his podcast this past week. He was saying that when he was a team physician, they'd educate their players on getting the flu shot. He said on average about half of the guys would get it. Most of the guys that had families would get it. And there's always an excuse, and I get this from my patients, that, oh, it's going to make me sick. Well, no, the flu is going to get you sick. The flu shot's going to reduce the incidence of you getting sick. You might feel lousy for a day, but it's better than feeling lousy and missing work, or in the case of these guys, missing a game where they're vitally important. TJ Yeldon, I'm not that worried about if he's sick, but it's Quentin Spain. If we lose him, that's a big drop off to Ryan Bates or Ike Botker. So get your flu shots, and I'm sure they're quarantining these guys off to the side as much as they can. Hand sanitizer. You know, there's a reason why they have healthcare professionals getting these flu shots when we work with other people. That's why we encourage people to get their flu shots when you're out and about, so you're not getting the flu. I mean, it's simple. It's simple.
There it is. Doctor's orders. Get your flu shot, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle, I appreciate you sharing your expertise with me here on this podcast. I never thought in week 14 we'd have this little to talk about, but I guess we'll take it. And thanks so much for your time. Of course, you guys can follow Kyle on Twitter at Banged Up Bills, the website bangedupbills.com. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Joe.
Let's close out the week now with some predictions. All right, I've got five of them for you this time. I'm not just going to give you a game prediction. I'm going to give you a game prediction and four others. The first thing I'm predicting is that the game will reach the over on points. The over-under for this football game is set at 43.5. I think that is too low. I think there's going to be some scoring in this one. I think both teams have a good defense. I really do. But I think both offenses will score enough to get to over 43.5. I think if you took the Bills' average points per game, you put Baltimore's average points per game, and they add up into the 50s. I don't think weather's going to be a big factor in this game. It's going to be in the 40s with normal Western New York winds in December. So I think you're going to see plenty of scoring in this one. I think this game probably gets into – I think it's going to push for the 50s. So 43.5 is too low, in my opinion. So take the over. That's my first prediction. The second one is that Devin Singletary has 100 rushing yards in this game. I think Baltimore's run defense can be had a little bit. They average allowing 4.5 yards per carry. They're only giving up 95 yards rushing a game, but that really comes down to some of the stuff I talked about yesterday and that they faced the least amount of rushing attempts on the season. So, of course, teams aren't going to rack up these gaudy rushing numbers because they're behind and they're not running it as much against this defense. But for Buffalo, I think they're going to understand that one of the best things they can do to help win this game is get Devin Singletary going, because it's an effective way to attack Baltimore's defense, but it's also an effective way to keep Baltimore's offense off the field. And so I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Devin Singletary in this game, probably a career high in carries. And I think he's going to gain some yards. Last week against San Francisco, who's a really good run team. So not that this is a bad opponent, but you know, San Francisco ran the ball 29 times for 174 yards. That's an average of 6 a pop. And they were able to get some big ones. Debo Samuel had a 20-yard rush. So you can expect to see Robert Foster or Isaiah McKenzie getting a chance like Debo Samuel did out in space to run the football, maybe on a reverse. Raheem Mostert had 19 carries for 146 yards against this Ravens defense last week. That's 7.7 yards a clip, and he had a 40-yard run. So he got a big one there, but he's still on the other 18 carries. He had 18 carries for 106 yards. So very steady wearing down that Ravens run defense. And these rushing statistics that I'm telling you about, again, as a team, 29 for 174 yards, that includes a negative 3 run by tight end George Kittle and 3 rushes for 5 yards by Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that the Bills will be very focused on winning the line of scrimmage and running the football on offense to create some opportunities to pass the ball, keep Baltimore off the clock. And again, I just think it's a good way to attack this defense. So give me Devin Singletary having 100 yards rushing in this game. The next one I'm going to put down is the Bills will have 5 passes of over 20 yards. I'm not predicting that Josh Allen completes 5 passes that traveled in the air 20 yards, but I think the Bills will get some explosive plays in the passing game, whether that is Josh Allen hooking up with a receiver on a deep one or some run after catch. I think Baltimore is going to be extremely, extremely aggressive attacking Josh Allen. They're going to blitz a ton, and I think that's going to create some opportunities for a good athlete that the Bills have, whether that's Dawson Knox, John Brown, Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie, to be available on some hot routes and rip off some long gains in addition to potentially some longer throws. So I think the explosive plays in the passing game will be there for the Bills. Number 4. So my prediction there, 5 passes of over 20 yards for the Bills. Whoever wins the turnover battle wins the game. I really do. I think this is going to, every possession is going to be really valuable in this game. I'm expecting points, like I've already said, and you've heard me talk here about the Bills having a 100-yard rusher and Josh Allen hitting some explosive plays in the passing game. So I think you can't afford to not have possessions. You can't afford to give the football to the other team. Both teams may have a turnover, but if one team has more turnovers than the other, the team with less turnovers is going to win this game, in my opinion. I think that's always a good predictor of win-loss in a game like this, where I think you have two good football teams with a lot on the line. You know, valuing the football and not turning it over is going to be really important. Both defenses are pretty good taking away the football, and both offenses are pretty good at not turning it away. Yeah, people want to talk about Josh Allen and being turnover prone. He's really not. I mean, he started off the year a little shaky, but he's proven himself to be a different player since then. The Bills have only turned the ball over 13 times this year. That's like in the bottom 10 of the league. I think it's sixth. So keep taking care of the football. You're going to give yourself a good chance to win this game for either team. All right, so my first four, take the over on points, which is set at 43.5. Devin Singletary, 100 yards rushing. 5 passes of over 20 yards for the Bills. The team that wins the turnover battle wins the game. And the moment you're waiting for, do I think the Bills will beat the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday? I like that the Bills have extra time to prepare. I like that this game's in Buffalo. I like that I think the Bills, I don't think, are going to have a bad day offensively. I'm really nervous about Baltimore's offense. I think you can be as disciplined as you want, and it just might not matter. It just might not matter if you don't take a good angle on Lamar Jackson. It might not matter if Lamar Jackson has a good play fake and widens the gap and Mark Ingram busts one for 15 yards. You know, I just feel like there's just too much weird with this Ravens offense, and the Bills haven't played anything like it. And I just don't think there's a lot of familiarity there. And I get nervous about them being able to be very efficient and aggressive on offense. And, you know, I think the Bills are going to give up some plays in this game, and the Ravens are going to score. And I'm expecting the Bills to score too. And so I know this is a little bit weird, but I'm expecting a bit of a shootout here. I'm expecting points. And with that being my mindset for the game, it's probably smart to pick the team that has the best offense in football. And so for those reasons, I am picking Baltimore to win this game. I don't feel good about it in terms of, I feel like I let you down. I really do. Every time I don't pick the Bills, I feel like you guys get real pissed at me and you don't like that. But I'm just trying to be honest with you, trying to be honest about the way I feel about the game. I picked the Bills to lose 4 times this year now. I picked them to lose against the Jets. I was wrong. I picked them to lose against the Patriots. I was right about that. I predicted them to lose to the Browns. I was right about that. I predicted them to lose to the Cowboys, and I was wrong about that. So this is going to be the 5th time that I predict the Bills to lose. I will say this. I might be the most optimistic about this game that the Bills are able to win it than when I predicted them to lose than any other one. So I don't know if that makes you feel better or anything like that. You guys know I'm rooting for the Bills. I never root for my predictions over the Bills. Good God, I care less if I get the prediction wrong. I want the Bills to win the football game. I just think it's the smart pick. If you're just trying to be smart, you take your heart out of it, I think it's the way to go. But I think the Bills have a very good chance to win in this game. I think that the Bills will probably cover the spread. I mean, the Bills are +6, so you know, I don't think the Bills are going to get blown out. I'm expecting a lot of points. And if the Bills can really get consistent scoring touchdowns and not squandering opportunities to score with field goals and little things like that, you know, I think we'll be real, real happy with a victory Monday on Monday. So I'm excited for the game. I know you're anxious for it. It's a big one. There's going to be a lot of eyes on this football game. It's going to reveal a lot, and people's opinions are going to be swayed pretty mightily by the outcome here. If the Bills hang around and win the game, or if the Bills play close and earn some respect, I mean, it's a good thing. But back to what I talked about at the beginning of the show, the playoff odds have very little in this game, whether they win or lose. It's a 5% difference if the Bills win or lose. 95% chance to make the playoffs if they lose, and a 99.6% chance if they win. So we're going to be good no matter what come Monday. It's okay. If the Bills lose this game, it's okay. Let's hope they don't, and let's hope we are having Victory Monday on Monday. So don't make sure you don't miss that Monday show by hitting that subscribe button. Have it ready for you. You know I'm going to have that puppy posted for you at midnight so you can watch it, or watch it. That's the beauty of a podcast, is you listen to it. You can listen to it at your disposal at any point on Monday. So make sure you're subscribed. Rate, review, share the podcast, all that stuff. Go Bills. We'll talk Monday.